Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Tmura Daf Gimel. We are holding six lines off the top of the Amud. Amar, let's go back and review what we learned yesterday. Mukdashe, according to the Bach, Kadashe. So we have a carbon that a guy had donated. Kadashe, Oide Kechav. It had its own unique system. So on the one hand, it's a carbon, but it has limitations. And very different than a standard carbon offered by a Yisrael. Firstly, Lo Nehenin, but Lo Nehenin. Although you're not meant to use it for personal use, but that's only Asr Midrabbanan. But if one actually misuses it, he has not violated Mi'ila with all its consequences requiring a carbon, etc. That doesn't apply to a carbon of a guy, so it's exempt from Mi'ila. And the Gemara explains, on the one hand, Lo'inen, and don't use it Midrabbanan. So Rabbanan don't allow it, but technically there's no Mi'ila on this carbon. My time, why is it exempt from Mi'ila? You would think it's like a regular carbon. The answer is the chsiv. Because in respect to Mi'ila, it says, Nefesh kesimol ma'al v'chat abishkoga. It has the term chet, which allows for a connection to Teruma, where likewise we find the word chet. V'alfinan chet, over here, chet, over there, mitruma, from Teruma, but Teruma chsiv, over there it says that Teruma is limited to Bnei Yisrael. V'loy ebgechavim. And just like Truma is specific to Yisrael, who separate their the Truma from their crop, as opposed to a guy who does not have that obligation. Likewise, the concept of Mi'ila will only apply to the carbon of a Yid, not a guy. Furthermore, Be'in Chayav and Alei Mishum Pigel Noiser V'Taminor, to these halachas apply Pigel Noiser and Tame. So Tamei is where a fellow who is impure ate that carbon. There's no consequence, no karas consequence. No yisur if the material of the carbon was left beyond its expiry time. So it doesn't have the yisur status. And pigel as well, which means that if the kayin had the wrong intent while processing the carbon, it doesn't have pigel status. So all these don't apply to the carbon of a guy. You know why? Because the chsiva b'tumah, let's start from the last item, tumah, where it says, Dabral Arnal Bana Vinosim Kutch Bnei Yisrael, Loichalu Hashem Bechulu. So the concept of the Tumah only applies to Kutch Bnei Yisrael. And now we connect Noisar to Tumah. V'yolof Noisar Chilu Chilu Mitumah. We make a Gzera Shava between Tumah, which is limited to Bnei Yisrael, over to Noisar to limit it as well, the chsiv b'gabei tumah b'nei Yisrael b'lo yichalulu, because by tumah it says it's specific to b'nei Yisrael, and it has the lashon of chilul, desecration. Chsiv b'gabei noiser, likewise by noiser, has the lashon of chilul as well. Vorech lav avon yisok, it's kodesh Hashem chilul. Hence, we have this link between noiser and tumah. So we import the b'nei Yisrael limitation from tumah to noiser, and now we're going to further import this halacha over to pigel. The yalef pigel avayin avayin minoiser. Pigel will derive through avayin avayin from noiser, because in both we have a lashon of avayin. The chsiv gabi pigel by pigel it says whenever shaychelas mena avayin ati. So we have a lashon of avayin. The chsiv gabi noiser. Likewise by noiser we have a similar term. By ichlav avayin noiser. So case kodesh Hashem chilel. So we import this halacha over from noiser to pigel, in which case v'kulu. So sum total is that all these obligations, all these chiyuvim, only apply by Bnei Yisrael, a carbon of a yid, whether it's tamei, noiser, or pigel, of a loy, of yicham, as opposed to a carbon of a guy. Ve'noisin tmura. Furthermore, a carbon that a guy donates doesn't have the ability to generate a copy of tmura, the chsiv, because by tmura it says, lo yach lifeno, v'lo yomer oiser, chsiv reish inyan. If you go back to the beginning of the discussion there, it specifies that this is referring to Bnei Yisrael only. Dava Bnei Yisrael. So we learn that this whole concept of tmura is specific to a carbon of a yid. There's another version explaining why Veinos Tmura, the carbon of God, doesn't generate a Tmura, my timer, because the Iskashat Tmura Behema Lamasa Behema, because we find that the Torah refers to the Tmura of a Behema in the same breath as discussing Master Behema, the tenth animal, which is meant as a carbon. And we already know that the concept of Master Behema is limited to Yisrael, or Master Behema, because it's connected to the Master Dagon, to the Master of Crop, which certainly only applies to a Yisrael. So we have this chain derivation. We got a Master Dagon, except by Master Dagon, it says, Kes Master B'nei Yisrael HaShirim L'Hashem. And we learn B'nei Yisrael Lev Gicham, that Master only applies to Crop of B'nei Yisrael, not Goy. We carry that over to Master Behema as well. Rashi explains, where is the connection between Master Behema and Master Dagon? Because we had this back in Bukharis, actually. Aser to Aser, the Pasuk mentions two types of Maser. And the Gemara learns that one is Maser Behema, one is Maser Dagon. So we have that linkage between these two. Hence, whatever applies to Maser Dagon applies to Maser Behema and vice versa. So it's only B'nai Yisrael, not a Goy. And then we carry that over to Tamura, which again is linked to Maser Behema in the same Pasuk. So we limit it to carbon of a Yid and not a Goy. They may be Nesach. Now, if the guy donates a carbon, he doesn't offer nesachim, you know, the wine and all that. Aval karbonai toy nesachim, divrei Rabbi Shimon. So he himself, as a person, can't offer that, but his carbon, as a carbon, requires that accompaniment. So it's sponsored by the, you know, public fund. But not only, how do we know that, in fact, it is so? The Tanur Rabbanon, we have a b'raisa. Ezrach, the citizen, a true Yisrael, Ezrach may be nesachim, he brings nesachim, be'enav d'kecham may be nesachim, but the guy does not. So as a person, he's not obligated to bring it. He can't offer nesachim, but as a carbon entity, requires nesachim. Yochel, perhaps, loy tehei eilasoi tuna nesachim, perhaps his carbon oila wouldn't require nesachim. Tamalim kacha. Kacha means with absoluteness. Every carbon has to be accompanied by nesachim. If he can't sponsor it, we do it for him. I'm Rabbi Yossi. He disagrees with Rabbi Shimon that applies all these limitations and restrictions to the carbon of a guy. He says, no. Royani bekula lahachmer. It appears to me that all these standards apply to a carbon of a goy as well. Pigel, noiser, everything. My time, you know why? Nashem ksibbe, because in reference to a carbon of a goy, it says, Lashem, yakrivi Lashem lo'ilo, to indicate that it's a regular carbon Lashem, like any other, with all the trimmings. Now, when we spoke about the carbon of a goy being exempt from mi'ila, according to the first opinion, the Brisa specifies, but medva mamurim, when do we say it's exempt from Mi'ilah b'kachim mizbeach? By a carbon meant for the mizbeach. If it's a guy's, no Mi'ilah. Ava b'kachim b'edek habayis, but if he donates to the b'edek habayis fund, then of course there's Mi'ilah, we'alim behen. Then we have Mi'ilah, which is a bit of an irony, because kachim b'edek habayis is a lower level kedusha, that will have Mi'ilah, as opposed to kachim mizbeach, which won't. My time, you know why? Because why do we exclude a carbon of a guy from Me'ilah? As we just learned, my timer, the chig amrina Me'ilah, chet chet mitruma. Because Me'ilah is linked to truma through chet chet. Just like truma only applies to a yid, likewise Me'ilah. So that linkage relates to two similar entities that are comparable. Dumit the truma. The Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf. So it's fair to compare a carbon mizbeach, which is Kedushas HaGuf, which is inherently Kodesh, to Trum, which is also something which has inherent value. As Kedushas HaGuf, it's meant for the Kayhanim, right? It's not just a value status, it's inherent status as Kedusha. So there it's a fair comparison. And just like Trum is limited to Yisro, likewise the Me'ilah of a kachim mizbeach, avol b'kedushas b'edek habayis, as opposed to a donation to the maintenance fund, which is not inherently kadosh, it's just monetarily committed to the cause. The kedushas damim, it's only kedushas damim. Why? That's not a fair comparison to truma, which is a totally different class of material. So we don't make that linkage, and hence we don't apply the truma limitation to Kedushas Betek Abayis. Hence, if a guy donates to the treasury, it carries a Me'ilah consequence. Omer B'damarav. here comes a general rule regarding Malchus for violating, for transgressing Eloisasi. You should know, Kol Loisasi Shebetera, all negative commandments in the Torah, does it generate Malchus, 39 lashes for one who violates? It depends. If it involves a physical act or it's just a passive violation. Also by Masa, if he did an actual physical violation, Chayiv, he gets Malchus. Loyasa by Masa Pata, but otherwise he's Pata, even though he transgressed, but if it was in a passive form, there's no Malchus. The Gemara Maseches Makos has a couple of sources for this. One pshat is because the discussion about Malchus is stated right next to a lav, where he muzzles an animal which involves a physical act. Hence we learn that a physical, you know, act is a prerequisite for Malchus. Asks the Gemara, really? Uklala, who is that a general rule? That, in fact, the lav she'im ma'asa pater, if there's no ma'asa, you're pater for Malchus, v'ari me'imar. What about Truma? Tmura. Right? Tmura, I'm sechta, the lav she'im ma'asu, there's no physical act, he's just expressing words by saying this is instead of this. Ve'laki, and of course there's Malchus generated on account of violating the Tmura violation. We have in a Mishnah, Daf Beis. This now we just learned, Loishu Rashi Elohomer, it's not to say that he's allowed to make a Tmura, Elo Shem Hamer, Mumar, if he did it, works. So the Kedusha gets expanded over to the next animal, and guess what? He gets Malchus, Pesegas Arboim, despite the absence of a physical act. How does this work with this rule? Amlach Rav, so Rav will respond, yeah, you're right. It's subject to Machlekes Tanoim. Hamani Rabbi Yudahi. Our Mishnah is not the consensus view. It's Rabbi Yudah's personal Shita, the Amar, who in fact holds that, yeah, Lav, Shein by Maisa, like an Olav, even without a Maisa, there is Malchus. How could you say our Mishnah is reflective of Rabbi Yudah's opinion? Can you establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Yudah? We just aligned our Mishnah unlike Rabbi Yehuda. Yesterday we had the Kasha, the Ketani, because the Mishnah began, HaKol Mimirim, all have the power to affect a Tmura. Who's all? HaKoy, Lasui, Lasui, might include who? Lasui, Yerush, even a Yerush, who's taking over his father's carbon. Who they like Rabbi Yehuda, unlike Rabbi Yehuda? Who holds that a Yerush cannot? Clearly our Mishnah is not aligned with Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, you're right, it's not actually Rabbi Yehuda speaking, it's a third opinion who adopted some element of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and not the other. So on the one hand, with respect to the question of the Yerush, I'll disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, but with respect to the question of applying Malchus for a passive violation, for a non-physical violation, there'll be Malchus. Hi Tana, this new Shita, this new Tana, Sabala Karasei Bechada, on the one hand, he's consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, the Lav Shem Yemaisa Loikin Olav, Upagli Bechada, and the other matter, he'll disagree regarding the Yerush's ability to do a Tmura. Dilu Rabbi Yehuda Savar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerush Einoi Samech, Yerush Einoi Meimah, Yerush cannot do Smicha or Tmura, and Vatana Dan Savar, our Tana disagrees on that account. Savar Yerush Samech, and Yerush Yes Meimah. Further on this topic, I'm going to read So once again, we have a rule regarding the application of Malchus. Kol loisa sishbetero. So regarding transgressing a law, also by maisa like loyosa by maisa pot. Malchus is only when there is a maisa done, as opposed to a passive violation. So it's pretty much in line with the previous statement. But he adds an exception, actually several exceptions to the rule. Chutz except. Minishba. If a person makes a false oath, so even though it's just a verbal transgression, there's Malchus. Umeimar, okay, that's close to home. Tmura. Umekalel, as Chaver B'Shem, he curses his friend with Hashem's name by invoking Hashem's name. In these three, Afal B'Shelo Yosef Masachai, even though it doesn't entail a physical act, it triggers Malchus. And here comes a fourth exception. Mishum, Rabbi Yisrael Rechanina, Amru, it was said in his name, Afa Magdim Truma LeBikurim. So if a person does his Truma and Bikurim out of sequence, out of order, you meant to do Bikurim first, the first time you see the fruit, meant to designate as Bikurim, and only then later do Truma. If he does it the other way, there is Malchus as well. And actually, the Gemara later translate this line that he was actually going the other way. That to be makdim perum mikurim does not generate a lav because it's a lav that's nitak lase. We'll see later in the Gemara. Okay, so we have the general rule. Only a physical transgression triggers malchus, but we have some exceptions. First is nishba. Okay, so he makes a false oath. Minol, how do we know that he gets malchus for that, despite a lack of a masa? Omar b'yecham shomer meir, omakro. Ki lo yinaka Hashem es asher yisa shmoy lashav. Torah says, Hashem will not overlook one who invokes Hashem's name in vain. Lo yinaka Hashem, Hashem won't. But down here, we have a way of addressing it through malchus. Bezin shomala, the bezin upstairs. Ey, manakana yisa, they don't just, you know, cleanse him and allow the, you know, simple tshuva to take care of it. It's much more involving. But here down in the Bezin Shalmata, and simple Malchus will take care of it. And so we know that Malchus is applied for a Shvua Sheker. How do we know that Malchus will address it? Ve'ema, perhaps the Pasuk means, there's no way to address it. You can't address it at all. Not upstairs or downstairs. Omerli says, if that were so, it would just say lo yinaka. So it can't be overlooked. It can't be done away with simple means. But lishtoik, without adding the word Hashem, Hashem lamali, why add the word Hashem? To teach that bezin shalmalu who they makin oisei, upstairs, they don't just cleanse him easily. Avo bezin shalmata, but here, in bezin shalmata, malkim nakin oisei, they apply malchus to clear him of that violation. Okay, ashkan shvaz shav. So we've now discovered, we've established, Malchus for Shvuas Shav, which is the subject matter of that pasuk. Lashav, in vain. In vain means that he's, you know, blatantly falsifying something. Right? He swears that it's snowing outside in the middle of July, right? So a Shvuas Shav is an outright blatant falsification invoking Hashem's name. Very severe. It triggers Malchus. But what about a lower level violation? A lower level falsification invoking Hashem's name. Shvuas Sheker. He's just lying. I ate, he didn't eat. I'm going to eat, he doesn't. Right? Ashkan Shvuas Shav. So we know Shvuas Shav. Okay, but Shvuas Sheker Miralem, what do we know about Shvuas Sheker? I don't know this Malchus there. Rabbi Yechon de Amar. Rabbi Yechon, who was the one who was quoting, he himself now came around to explain it. So he added to the explanation, to the drasha. Rabbi Yechon de Amar, Lashav, Lashav, Shnei Pachamim. Take a closer look at that pasuk again. It says Lashav twice. Lo yisisa Hashem Hashem lokech Lashav, ki lo yinake Hashem, eis asher yisa eshmer Lashav. So why the word Lashav twice? Imeino inen l'shva Lashav. It's not either for blatant falsification, right? Because that's already mentioned in the first time. Tineyu inyan l'shva sheker, the like it applied to a regular shva sheker to give him malchus. Mask of l'arevo. How? Practically, how are you going to give malchus for shva sheker? What's the case? What is he lying about? Shva sheker, what variation of shva sheker are we talking about? Inema, are we speaking to Amar that he promised? Shloich, I will not eat. V'achol, he violated his oath and he ate. Well, that's not lacking in a ma'isa. We're looking to apply Malchus to a non-Ma'asa related violation. Here, he committed a physical act to violate his oath. He promised not to eat anyone, and he ate anyways. Hasamu Ma'asa Avat. Of course he did a Ma'asa, and of course it generates Malchus without the special, drasha. Ve'lo dama sha'echel, ve'lo yechel. Apparently, what happened was, he promised to eat, but he didn't. So he violated his shvua, but in a passive manner. Is there malchus on that, really? Hahumi lucky? Will he get malchus in this case? Wait, tomorrow we have a discussion where we learn that there's no malchus. Shvua sha'echel kikur zahayim. He promises to eat this loaf of bread today. Day passes by without him eating it. Rabbi Yechon Shimon Lakish, they both say, Amri ain't a lucky. There's no malchus for different reasons. Rabbi Yechon ain't a lucky. Rechon says no malchus. Delav shem b'maisu, because it was just a passive violation without a maaser. And there's no maaser, there's no malchus. So clearly Rabbi Yechon himself holds there's no malchus in this case. He says the reason why he doesn't get malchus for a different reason. Mishum davel yisrael sof, because in order to generate a an einish consequence, you have to precede it with a warning. And here it's an uncertain warning. When are you going to warn him? At 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Make sure to eat it. If you don't eat it now, you're going to eat. He'll say, "Listen, I got time. I got a whole day." And it's impossible. It's hard to time it perfectly to get him like 2 minutes before sunset and say, "Well, you better eat it now. If not, you're going to." So ultimately, it's going to be Asra Safik, and you can't punish based on a pending warning. So clearly, in this case, there's no malchus. So which case has malchus by Shvua Sheker? Ella Amar Avo Tehe must be Be'ochalti Le'ochalti. It's referring to past. I promised that I ate breakfast. He didn't eat. So in this case, he'll get malchus, despite it being a passive violation. But if it's going on the future, I promised to eat and he doesn't, there is no malchus, like we said a minute ago. Now what's the difference? How do you know that the pasuk, which is introducing malchus, even for passive shvua sheker violation, is referring to only past, not future? Mishnah, how do we know? What's the difference? Why do we say the kamar b'chalti b'lechalti? You're including and applying malchus to a case of past. I promised that I ate, he really didn't. Then there's malchus. As opposed to future, where there's no malchus. Mo'echel, he promises to eat, he doesn't eat, that there's no malchus. Why? Why would you prefer the past over the future? I'm a Rava. Very simply, because look at that pasuk again. The pasuk is really dealing with Shvuas Shav. I promise that this chair is made of gold, and it's really not, right? That's a past event. It's a fact which precedes his oath. So when the pasuk, which discusses Shva Shav, which is by definition a past tense concept, goes and expands and includes even another variation, which we call Shva Sheker, we assume it's in the same context. It's also a past, relating to a past event. Amar Rav Beferush, Rup Satura, clearly the Torah includes and expands Malchus to a Shvua Sheker, which is Doim L'Shav, comparable to the Shvua Shav, and Ma Shav L'Shav, just like Shav, relates to something of the past, a fact which is already in existence. By the time he utters his falsified oath, Av Sheker L'Shav, likewise, the lower level Sheker, regarding a past event, is past only. Hence we know that just as there is Malchus for Shvua Shav, there's Malchus for Shvua Sheker as well, provided it relates to the past. I promised that I ate breakfast, and he really didn't. Eisvei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, he has a question, Rabbi Avo. You say there's malchus for falsifying a past fact. Here comes a brice, a mishnah. Shvua shelo ichal kigurzu. I make a shvua not to eat this loaf of bread, and he repeats the same again. Shvua shelo ichlano. And again, a third time, shvua shelo ichlano. V'achlan, he eats it. How many malchus does he get? Only one. Einichai v'la achas. Because, as Rashi explains, you can't pile it on. Ein shvu'o chala al shvu'o, says Rashi. You can't apply one shvu'o on a pre-existing shvu'o. It's already also on account of the first oath. You can't add layers to it. Only chayv one. Einichai v'la achas. V'zui shvu'o spiti. This is the classic shvu'o spiti. Shvu'o of expression, meaning as opposed to shvu'o which involves denial of monetary claims, which are more complicated. It's a more straightforward Shvuas Bitui, an oath which he's violating, a personal oath which he's transgressing, whose consequences as follows. Shachayoven al zdoina makus, was done intentionally, there's makus, while shigasa karban oil yared, was done unintentionally, there's a karban called oil yared. It's a fluid karban which fluctuates based on his financial abilities. It's either an animal, or a bird, or. Now, when the Mishnah expressed the word zuhi, so he is a limiting term, only this, meaning only this specific case carries this specific consequence, as opposed to something else. What are we excluding? Zui lim utimai, what are we excluding? So it only applies to a case where I promise not to eat and I ate. My love, let's assume it's excluding a case which relates to past. My love lim uti achatev leichati, he promises that he ate breakfast and he really didn't. And we're excluding malchus from there. There's no malchus. This flies in the face of what we just said a minute ago. We have a special pasuk to apply Malkus, even falsifying his breakfast facts. No. Let's recalibrate. Zui, yes, it says Zui, which is a limiting term, but not the way you're assuming. Zui, only in this case, where he promised to eat something, promised not to eat the bread, and he ate it. In this case, there's Malkus, and there's a curb on it, if it's B'shoigig, because it relates to the future. But a past event, if it relates to past events, in that case, there's no curb. Because the pasuk about carbon speaks about future. Zui dal shigigosa maisi carbon. In this case, a shigig generates a carbon. But if he's lying about a past event, there is malchus, but there's no carbon. So if it was done by mezah, there's malchus, but the shigig there's no carbon. Lo maisi carbon. The manu rishmoyd. We're going like a rishmoyd. The amor tells us back in Maseches Shvuos, carbon is specific to future. Falsification about future events. Manu rishmoyd. The amor says ain't a chayv al asad lo be carbon specific to future. But in the case of a past event, although carbon will not apply, but in the case of intentional violation, there is malchus, which is perfectly in line with what we're saying all along. Really, Ema Seifa, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah, which discusses a Shvuas Shav. As we explained before, Shvuas Shav is a blatant falsification of a clear fact. I swear this beam is made of gold and it's really stone, right? Emo Sefer, so the Mishnah continues. So let's go by it. Zui Shvuah Shav, so here's an example of Shvuah Shav, which again carries consequences as follows. Shechayev Nazdain Makis, an intentional violation is Makis, but in this case there's no carbon on Shvuah Shav, Al Shigdasa Potter. And again we have the word Zui. What's Zui coming to limit, to exclude? Zui limited Mai. So again, we're assuming my love lucky. Malchus only applies to a true Shvuah Shav, but if he's lying about whether he ate breakfast, there's no malchus on that. And again, this flies in the face of the halacha that we're going with all along, that we have a special pasuk to apply malchus to a falsification about past events. Loi, incorrect. Zui dal shigosa patim mikarvan. When the Mishnah concludes with the word Zui, it's relating to the carbon aspect. Zui does gossip has to be carbon. When he does a Shvuas Shav, there's no carbon, even by a Shege. Carbon doesn't apply to, Shvuas Shav, falsifying an obvious fact. As opposed to lying about a past event, in that case, if it's Shege, there is a carbon. But regarding past, I didn't. Maisi carbon, there is a carbon if it's B'Shege. Umani Rebbe Kivi, Domar Mavin carbon, Shavar. So this part of the Mishnah will fall in line with Rabbi Kiva, who says, actually, there is carbon for past events as well. But a minute ago, you said, but Amris, you just told me, Reish Rabbi Shmuel. That part A of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. There's no carbon on past events. And here you're saying that we're going like Rabbi Kiva, that there is. Elo, you must say, with the Sefer Rabbi Kiva, Reish Rabbi Kiva. You're right. Just that part B is Rabbi Kiva speaking, who applies a carbon for past events too. Likewise, part A of the Mishnah as well. So let's go back to the Reish. He makes a shvuah, I will not eat this bread. And he eats it. B'shegeg, carbon. B'mezet, malchus. Mishnah stresses this. Only this case. As opposed to what? So we thought, as opposed to past events. Where there's no, V'reisha lav l'mutei chat v'leichate. No. We're not excluding past events. Because, as we saw in the Sefer, because as we're saying all along, as we saw in the Sefer, that even past events have consequence. Malchus, carbon. The Reish, however, is not excluding past events. Because look, it's relating to future. I will not eat, and he eats. So when we have a limitation there, we assume that limitation also applies to a future tense, a future event. It's coming to limit, it's coming to exclude a case of oichav alayichal. So only when he says, I will not eat, and he eats, then he gets malchus, etc. But if he says, I will eat, oichal, ultimately he didn't eat it. That's a passive violation. In that case, there is no malchus. Why? Because, as we said before, that's a lav shem b'maisan, right? Okay, so bottom line is like this. Each part of the Mishnah, each case, is accompanied with the word zuhi, a limiting expression. This and not that. And each case, we assume, is limiting, is excluding something which is similar to itself. So this, yeah, but that not. So in the ratio, he promised not to eat and he ate. Full consequence, full weight of the law. Zuhi, but only this, supposed to, when the case is reversed, I will eat and he doesn't. In that case, there's no consequence. There's no malchus, right? Part B of the Mishnah, which speaks about shua shav, falsifying something which is evidently false, right? That's, like we said, a past, sort of relates to past. It's already there in existence. So here, it's excluding something which is likewise relating to past. I.e., I ate breakfast and he really didn't. In that case, he gets hit by the full brunt of the law. Malchus, if it's bemazed, korban, if it's b'shogeg. Says the more Mishnah, why would you go this way? Why would part A of the Mishnah be excluding this and part B excluding that? Maybe part A is also excluding the past, right? How do you know? Says the Gemara, because it's all about context. Like we explained, Mishum Dekoy Belahaba, part A is speaking about a future phenomena. Ma'id Lahaba. So the immediate also relates to a future phenomena. So it relates to a case where he said, I'm not going to eat, and he ate, full brunt of the law, as opposed to a case where he says, I'm going to eat, and he didn't eat. Then he's not chayv. Koy Belahaba Ma'id Lashava, but if we're discussing future, you think the exclusion and the limitation refers to past? Unlikely. It's out of context. So it makes more sense to go this way. So bottom line, we have a Mishnah with two parts. Part A, I will not eat this loaf, and he eats it, is chayv. As opposed to, I will, yes, eat, and he doesn't. That's a passive violation. There's no part B of the Mishnah speaks about shvua shav, which is by definition a past thing. And this, and only this, as malchus without carbon, but something which is similar to this, another variation of a past event. I ate breakfast, he really didn't. In that case, full brunt of the law. Malchus for mezid, and carbon for shekeg. In line with what we're saying all along, that there is in fact malchus for shvuas, sheker of this type. So bottom line, even though a shvua is just a verbal expression, it's not a physical act, there is malchus for shvua shav, and likewise one variation of shvua sheker, such as I promise I ate breakfast and I really didn't, because it's learned from the same pasuk as shvua shav, because of that repetition. So it has to be similar in ilk, similar in type to shvua shav, which relates to past. However, if it's an account of the future, I will eat and he doesn't, in that case he's potter. We had another interesting machlekes regarding carbon. Rekiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says carbon is always only on the future thing, and according to Rekiva, even on the past. Umeimar. Next item is tomorrow. There's malchus despite the lack of a mice. Amuli Rabbi Yochanan Latanus. Rabbi Yochanan turned to the Amor. He says, "Laisis new meimar. Don't include meimar on the exception list, because there is a mice." Although it's just a verbal expression, but ultimately it takes effect. It has a physical ramification. It's mekadosh the carbon. So it's not lacking in the physical masa aspect. And of course it gets malchus, like anything else. Third on the list is cursing somebody, invoking Hashem's name. Manol, how do we know that there's malchus? Amar Lazar, Rabbi Isha Makra, Im lo yisishma ruksiv, if Hashem is makoyscha. If you don't adhere, if you don't, you know, conform, you get vehifla. What's meant vehifla? Haflo is when you dare. I'm not sure what exactly haflo means. So we have another pasuk. Yipila hashayif, you call the fun of the judge, bends him over and gives him malchus. Have you? I mean, now we see the haflo, haflo, yipila, similar words. So Malchus relates to the lashes. Okay, so we learn from here. And Malchus applies to a fellow who violates Imlay Sishmar. The Sishmar, the passage that continues, person is disregarding Chas V'Shalom Hashem's name, Liras Hashem Alech V'Anoir, invokes Hashem's name in an inappropriate, you know, within a curse context, so then there's Malchus. So that's the Gemara. How do we know that the Malchus for invoking Hashem's name is only if it's within a curse context? Maybe any time a person makes a shvua, including Hashem's name, he gets Malchus. Eimar afilu shvua semes. Right, even an honest oath, you know, a truthful oath. You can't say that. Behedik sibbe, we have a pasuk. Shvua Hashem tevin shneim. So when you have somebody claiming against you, you go to bez and you swear to exempt yourself. Torah has instructed you to swear. How could you be liable for it? Perhaps Torah is telling you, look, if you want to appease your friend, get him off your back, you swear to exempt yourself. But you got Malchus for bringing yourself to this situation. You can't suggest that. You should swear using Hashem's name. Apparently, if it's done in a proper way, in a respectful way, in a proper context, there's no problem. Well, perhaps that puzzle you just quoted is for something else. Look at the Rav Gidol, Rav Gidol Rav, Menayin Lishin Ishboin, Lukayim Isham Mitzvahs. How do we know that a person, it's appropriate for a person to make a shvua, to spur himself, to motivate himself to do mitzvah? Shinamar Nishbat Vakayim, Lishmar Shetek Tzidkecha. The Rav Melech says, I swore to motivate myself to keep the mitzvahs. So yeah, in that context, but just to get into Bezin, to swear using Hashem's name, to exempt yourself from a monetary claim, who says that's justified? Hoksiv Krachrinu, we have another pasuk, Boi Tidbak, Ushmoy Tishaveh, do invoke Hashem's name in a proper shvua. So you can't say that he's punished for doing so. So what then is he being warned against? What then does Malchus apply when he invokes Hashem's name in a very inappropriate context, using it to curse a person? Well, the Emeloi Moitzit Hashem Shemayim Latol. Maybe the Malchus applies for any person who just, you know, mentions Hashem's name in vain. Maybe that's what's going on. Migara Mekalas Chaveri B'Shem. Okay, even if that's true, but the person actually uses Hashem's name in the context of a curse, is that any less severe than just uttering Hashem's name in vain? Of course not. Moitzit Hashem Shemayim Latol. Says the Gemara, what I meant to ask is like this. You're right. Perhaps just uttering Hashem's name in vain. In that case, Malchus is sufficient to address that violation. But if he actually expresses Hashem's name, invoking a klala, given the covered tarte, since he's doing two things wrong, he's uttering Hashem's name inappropriately. And number two, he's hurting his friend. Perhaps in this case, Malchus is not sufficient to address it and to atone for it. Says the Gemara, no. You can't say that this Malchus applies to a fellow who is just uttering Hashem's name in vain without the context of a curse. Rather, it's referring to a curse only. Why? Because you have a pasuk which expressly tells us with an outright warning. Don't curse that person, and certainly a hearing person. So it makes sense that the punishment likewise applies to the item on which we have an express warning. There's an outright law for cursing, so we assume that, you know, the second pasuk pairs up with this first pasuk to add the Malchus for invoking Hashem's name in that curse. So if, in fact, the Malchus refers to a fellow who's Mekalas Chaveiro with Hashem's name as Arti Miyacha, so that makes sense, because the warning was this pasuk, the chesed is Kalacherish, and it's followed by the consequence, which is the Malchus. Eli, Amrus Meis Hashem Shem Latolo. But if you're going to insist that the Malchus applies to just, you know, expressing Hashem's name in vain, would we find an outright warning against that? So it makes more sense that if we have a clearly expressed law against cursing, that likewise the consequence of the Malkus applies to this case as well. But if you're going to tell me that it's going on that, where's the warning? Allah Malay says, what do you mean? Why not? I have a warning. We have another pasuk which warns against uttering Hashem's name in vain. Voksiv. That's Hashem Elokecha Tira. Meant to have awe and fear for Hashem and Hashem's, you know, any reference to Hashem. But you say Tzavoid, meant to serve Him and be close to Him. And just mentioning Hashem's name callously. But that's not really a laugh. Hahu Ashoras Asehu. It's a warning which is implied through a positive instruct. Do, right? Do respect Hashem. Do regard Hashem with utmost awe and affinity, right? Implying not to, you know, misconstrue Hashem, any reference to Hashem. So it's an implication, it's not an outright law which is expressed as such, in which case it doesn't really qualify to generate Malkus. Rather, the Malkus will apply to Lissa Kalacherish, which is an outright warning against cursing, and if he adds the Shem Hashem to the curse, there in fact is Malkus. Alright, so we have first a discussion regarding the carbon of a goy. We have all types of, you know, limitations and exclusions based on various psukim. Then we proceeded to the rule that Malkus is only on a lav sheyesh b'maisa. And then we have some exceptions. Nishba, Meimar, Mokalas Chaveir B'Shem, and we have the psukim for each one of those items. All the best to you, and much, much Hatzlacha.